2 Corinthians, let's stand, chapter 4, and we're going to read a few verses out of chapter 4, and I pray that the Lord might bless us. Then we'll be seated and pray, and then I'll bring you the message that the Lord has put upon my heart about 4:15. Amen. I wondered about what to do till about 4:15, and the Lord put this on me. All right, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible said, "Therefore, seeing..." That's good to do, isn't it? "We have this ministry. As we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty." Some folks have. Every child of God should. "Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully." Notice that. Just keep that in mind a minute. We're not going to spend too much time on it, but I'll show you how it happens. "But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Now look at verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Yes. Saved people, the gospel's not hid from them. Amen. 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 Lost people are the ones that can't see the gospel. Amen. "In whom," notice this, "the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." You have to know who the God of this world is. It's not Christ. Amen. The God of this world is Lucifer, right. Satan, the devil. He said, "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God," we talked about that in Sunday school this morning, "who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves." Amen. What can we preach about ourselves? Amen. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Now I want to say this before we sit down. In verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness." Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let there be light, and there was light." And then when the time come, God convicted you of your sin, you recognize you as a sinner, it was God who commanded the light to shine, and your heart's been brightened and lightened. Amen. And now you know the truth since you've been saved. Amen. So the same God that placed the sun in the sky has placed the Son of God in your heart. Yes. And now we have light. Now you can be seated and let's pray. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you tonight that we have an opportunity to call upon the throne of God. You told us that we could enter boldly to the throne of grace and find help in the time of need. Lord, we feel this is a very great time of need. We're living in the last days, the dark hours, the perilous times you said would come. We're living in a time, Lord, when we need to be noticeable about the things of God more than ever. We need to preach the word of God more than ever. We need to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ more than we've ever done. And Lord, we know tonight that we're living in a time when men and women are going to and fro, paying no attention, as we preached on this morning, paying no attention, listening not to the voice of God. And I pray tonight, Lord, that we might somehow get a hold of this and may it grasp our heart. And Lord, tonight you'd work a work in our heart. We leave here, we say it's been good to be down the house of God. Lord, I pray you'd humble my heart. God, I pray tonight you'd revelate my heart or give me that which I need to say. I pray, God, you'd open my lips and my mouth, my tongue. May I speak as the oracles of God, as I wish I had when I stand in the judgment bar. Lord, I realize tonight I'll face the message again. And I pray, God, that we'll hear it tonight and take it to heart. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. For it's in Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen and amen. Now I want to quickly turn over. Hold your place here in chapter 4. I want to quickly turn over to chapter number 11 of the book of 2 Corinthians. And I want to read a little scripture here, and then I'm going to go back and apply these two together. The Bible said in chapter number 11 and verse number 13, and we was talking about the God of this age just a moment ago. We'll proceed with that a little more. The Bible said in verse number 13 of chapter 11, 2 Corinthians, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers." And he tells what those false apostles do, what those deceitful workers will do, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. You'll think that they're God's men. They will deceive the people of God, even the people of God, to think that they are apostles of Christ. I just read an obituary yesterday. I don't even remember who it was. You probably read the same one. It don't make no difference, not picking on nobody. But it said that man that died, it was a man, that man had died, he was a part of the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. Now, I wouldn't dare tell that if I was part of it. If I did, I'd open me a sack and whisper it in it and shut it up and seal it. Amen. Now, then he probably thought that was okay. Everything, you know, why would a man think that? I read that, and I said to myself, part of the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. Now, I'm looking at you, some of you, and you're looking around like, so, what's wrong with Jimmy Swaggart Ministry? Amen. Well, if you don't know, talk to me after service. Amen. We'll have a little overtime. But I'm looking at this, and it said, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Now, transforming. Amen. God didn't transform them. They transformed. It said, what? Transforming themselves. Amen. Amen. The Bible said in the last days there'll be some coming calling themselves Christ. We have that today. Yep. Calling themselves the apostles of Christ. Yep. And they're not. The Bible said in verse 14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." We're going to have some proof of that. And the world's going to have proof of that in just a short time. Not me, I'm going to be gone. But they're going to see that. I'm going to explain that to you tonight. We are living in a time when people are so confused. I actually get irritated because people have been in church for 50, 60 years and don't know no more about their Bible than they claim and what they say. I mean, they claim they know it. They quote a lot of it, and a lot of it ain't right. Yeah. Amen. Then it said in verse 15, "Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers," whose ministers? The devil's ministers. The devil's preachers. "Also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness," right living, "whose end shall be according to their works." Now, you want me to tell you how I know we got so much of that? Because there's nothing wrong anymore. The devil has made people believe that everything is all right. Nothing is wrong. What I used to preach 51 years ago when I started is still sin. I don't care how many. I've watched people change from year to year, day to day, week to week, month to month. I've watched them throw the Bible to the side and say, well, that's not speaking to us today. The ministers have transformed themselves and made people believe it. And the bad thing is, church folks are swallowing it hook, line, and sinker. Amen. Now, I got all that off my chest. I'm going to go back to chapter 4 in the first part of it. And look at this. The Bible said in verse number 3, well, verse number 2, he said that they handle the word of God deceitfully. How come they handle it deceitfully? Because they have transformed, people have transformed themselves into the ministers of light. The Satan has done that, and the others have come along and said his ministers have come to place that they have said that they're Christ's apostles. And they deceive. We've got so much deceit in America and around the world. And we are listening to it. Don't listen to ever feller that comes through the town thumping a Bible. Amen. I don't care if he's got a line of numbers and letters behind his name that long. I don't care if he's got a... I remember back, about 20 years ago, I got a letter from a preacher out of California. And he said, "Preacher, and I'm glad to know you." He said, "You don't know me. I've gotten some of your literature. And I've forgotten the church he pastored in California. Done and forgot what town it was in. But he said, I know your wife. I know your daddy-in-law. I used to preach with him in Clarksville, Georgia, where you're located. He said, I want to come and see you." I said, "Help yourself." And I thought, hey, somebody from California is coming to see me. And he did. He came to see me. He looked at the work we were doing and he said, "I'm going back to California and our church is going to support your ministry for $100 a month. And I said, "Praise God." That humbled my heart. They give us that for about a year or two. And all of a sudden, I got a letter from the same church. And that pastor that took us on dropped us. I mean, he didn't drop us, but he left the church and they got another pastor. And so I got a letter from him. And he said, "I'd like to have your standing on the King James Bible, please, sir." I said, "Well, glory to God," to myself. I sat down and wrote it just like I preach it here. And I sent it back and I said, "I believe in nothing but the King James Bible. Study out of nothing but the King James Bible. Preach out of nothing but the King James Bible. Don't even listen to preachers that preach out of something else." Amen. Now it's hard. Now I hear so much of it, it's pitiful. Because every time you try to hear a preacher and he sounds pretty good and you got to get interested, next thing you know, he warps the word. You can't find them on the radio preaching out of the King James as much as you used to. It's pitiful. And so I laid that platform out and sent it back to him. And a few days after that, I got a letter. And he said, "Sir, I want to inform you that that's the position I thought you would take. However, that's not the position that we take at our church. And we will drop your support." So I wrote back a letter and I said, "Would you explain to me what kind of position you take? And I'd like to know why you take the position that you take that's contrary and different to what I take." And I got another letter back and he said, "Well," he said, "I pastored 14 churches. I started a radio station. I got a printing ministry myself. I've got a doctorate's degree and I've got," he named over three or four more out behind it. And he said, "I have learned that there are some problems with the King James Bible." And that's all I needed. Amen. He told me he was a hireling. He didn't say that. But his statements proved it. And I'm glad. And I turned around and wrote one more letter. And I said, "Thank God you're not sending us any more money. Keep it." And he's took my word and sent us another penny. Amen. And I appreciate that. But now why did I say that? To tell you tonight that we've got so much that's going on. Now look at verse 3. I want to point these little things out. The Bible said, "But if our gospel be hid..." It's hard to hide the gospel. It's hard to hide that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Died and went to the grave and arose on the third day. That's hard to hide. Amen. But would you say today and agree with me that the gospel is hid today? Brother Burrow, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, when you was preaching, people knew the gospel. They honored the gospel. I mean, they honored the gospel more than they honored the American flag. And now they honor the American flag more than they honor the Bible. Some folks do. Some don't honor nothing. Am I preaching on target tonight? Now stay with me, because we need to hear what I'm preaching. But Paul says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Today, in my personal experiences with people, and by the way, I love people. Preaching, sometimes you'd think I hate people, but I don't. You'd think that I'm a mean fella. I've been classified as a mean preacher. Amen. And I hear too many more say that, and I'm going to find the meaning. And bring him in. Amen. We need some preachers, and I believe every preacher. John the Baptist was a mean one. Isaiah was a mean one. Paul was a mean one. I'm talking about in the standards of the world. Amen. I'm not talking about in the eyes of God. Understand? You know, today if you ruffle somebody's feathers, if you knock their feet off their coffee table, amen, you try to clean the refrigerator out of beer. I was listening to the radio. I turned to one radio station. It's supposed to be gospel, and it had some kind of junk on it besides the King James Bible, and I flipped, pushed another button, and it come to the Clarksville station over here. And Lord have mercy. Guess what they was talking about? Talking about the Oktoberfest. Yeah. It said the early part of the Oktoberfest, they sold a lot of beer. And at the end of the Oktoberfest, they sold wine and spirits. And I said, I've already got these spirits. Don't need spirits. Amen. Understand? And so I turned to another station. And it didn't have nothing but junk on it, and I finally just turned it off and drove on down the road. And I'm thinking about all this. No wonder we're where we are. But in my conversations with people, I have to talk about Christ. Most church members, and I want to tell you this tonight, most of you in this building have not witnessed to somebody about their soul in ages. Oh, you get out in public and somebody said, isn't it a good day? And you said, yeah, every day is a good day with the Lord. That's not witnessing. That's a good testimony. But how long's it been since you looked at somebody and said, sir, let me ask you, if you died today, where would you spend eternity? Church members don't do that, Brother Burrow. They don't do that. That's why the world is going to hell in a basket, brother, in a hand basket. I want to tell you, they're sliding off. We're greasing the board from the slide into hell. What have you done lately to keep somebody out of the pits of hell? Oh, preacher, I've been praying. Sometimes we've got to put a few legs on our prayers. Now, there's people, if you talk to them about their soul, they get mad. They've been bothered with so many of the Jehovah's Witnesses have been around, the Mormons been around, the Seventh-day Adventists been around, the Catholics been around. And everybody got different ideas about the Scriptures. One Baptist over here in this church believes you can fall from grace. Another Baptist in another place believes in speaking in tongues. Another Baptist over here, he don't even know what he believes. He thinks every tub sets on its own bottom. But he can't find the Scripture. Are y'all with me tonight? Stay with me. Well, they're so used to that if you started telling them about Jesus, they've had about everything under the sun told to them. They can't find two Baptists that can believe the same thing. And even while they're trying to tell them about Jesus, they remember some deal down the road 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago or 2 years ago that they know that person beat somebody out of some money. Yeah. Told him something wasn't so. Told him he was going to do something, wouldn't do it. Y'all still with me, ain't you?
Amen.
Hang on. So they will not listen. So the gospel gets hid to them. They don't know what to believe. They don't know what's right. The average person in the world does not know the actuality of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They may tell you that's the gospel. The average person in the world actually does not know what the gospel is. They think the gospel is preaching. The gospel is telling what you think. Some of them don't know what the death, burial, and resurrection is. Matter of fact, there's people on the pews in America, on Baptist pews tonight, that don't know what the gospel is. And if I ask you tonight, give me a Bible definition of the gospel. Oh, you said, preacher, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now tell me that. And where'd you find it? Back up to 1 Corinthians. If you don't get nothing tonight out of this service, please get this in your heart. Read it over, read it, read it over again, and then read it over again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you don't know what the gospel is, here it's going to tell you. What better agency should you get tonight to tell you what the gospel is but the word of the living God? 1 Corinthians 15 says, moreover, brethren. Amen. I think it's a right good message for to get about 4:15 this evening. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. That ain't told me what it is, preacher. No, but Paul declared it. Which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you're saved. Number one, the gospel is what you're saved by. Oh, preacher, give me a sob story about his little dog and how the little dog died. That's not the gospel. That's a story. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now Paul is going to give you a biblical definition. You've seen this because I've been on this 100 times. I've got to the place, I'm getting older. Maybe I am getting senile. Maybe I am repeating myself. Maybe I've realized that I need to repeat myself. Amen. I remember when my kids come up, I didn't tell them something one time and never tell them again. Matter of fact, I had some hard-headed boys. And I told them one time, two times, three times, and four times, and every time I need to tell them, I told them, and I'm still telling them every once in a while. Ain't that right, fellas? All right. Amen me. Yep. So I found out if I'm pastor of church, I need to do the same thing to the congregation. I tell you one time, I tell you two times, I tell you three times, and I keep telling you, yep, I'm old and senile now. Go on and say it. I'm old and senile. And I'm going to keep repeating myself, not because I don't know any better, not because I'm all twisted and warped and senile, but because it's important for you to know.
Amen.
All right. Paul said, for I delivered unto you first of all. It's the first thing I delivered. That which I also received. How that? Number one. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures.
Amen.
That's the gospel. Number one. We're talking about it. It's got a two or three things and parts to it. The first thing is preaching the death and how that Christ died for our sins. That's number one. That's the first part of the gospel. Amen. And by the way, when preachers say Christ died, and sometimes I catch myself to preach it, I preach it, and I do it, I keep on preaching it. Christ died on the cross of Calvary. But what he done is he died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. God didn't just put them little words in there to... You see, the Bible's not a thesis. God was not trying to get a doctorate degree when he wrote the Bible. He was already the Almighty. Then in verse number 4 he said, and that, and this be the second thing, he was buried. He was buried. Now you know why he had a burial? That's what you do to dead people. He died on the cross for our sins, and to prove that he died, he went to the grave. Suppose he'd got down off the cross and run uptown and said, I'm alive forevermore. Nobody would have believed him. Matter of fact, he went to the grave and arose on the third day, and nobody wants to believe him. But he laid it out for us. He said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, number two, and that he rose again the third day, and all of this is according to the Scriptures, and sometimes we leave that out. He died according to the Scriptures for our sins. He died and he was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he begins to give the evidence of his resurrection. And I won't get into that. I want to go back to what we were talking about. Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. This morning we talked about, in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, let me turn over there and I'll give you what I want to tie together here. I'm not in the 13th chapter preaching, but I just want to make sure I tell you what we see and what we said this morning. The Bible tells us that there's going to come a time when the beast is going to rise up and he's going to have great authority and he's going to have power and authority from the dragon. You remember me talking about the dragon this morning? That is the prince and the power of the air. Amen. That we are talking about, or the god of this world, in chapter number 4 and verse number 4. Those are the same person. The god of this age is a Satan. And the dragon, he is the same one. You got to get that. Now, the Bible said, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. They don't know any better. Look at verse 4. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 4. In whom the god of this world, Satan, Lucifer, the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Amen. If you go blind in this world, it'll be your eyes. You can't see. It's terrible to be blind. Yeah. Amen. A lot of us in this building are not experiencing a portion of blindness. Amen. You ever lost your glasses and tried to look for them? Amen. I just have to have mine for reading. Some of y'all have to have them for more than that. I'm sure I'm not going to take no poll and find out, but some of you have to have glasses to drive. Maybe some in here like that. And I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying it gets bad. Not too long ago, I know a preacher that died, not from blindness, but he died. He is blind. He'd been preaching for years, preached in his church. And he lost his eyesight, kept getting worse and worse, to where he couldn't even read his Bible anymore, and he had to listen to it on tape. And his wife had to lay it out for him. She had to hunt everything, lay it out for him to listen to. He couldn't read any notes because he couldn't write notes. He couldn't see to read. Couldn't see to write. And he preached off what he had known and what he had heard. Amen. That might be good for all us preachers. Not to have to read after anybody else, but just have somebody read us the Bible and just preach the Bible. Amen. When I was younger and a little bit younger than I am now, matter of fact, a whole lot younger than I am now, I would read commentaries and take what they said, and lots of times I've said things that the commentary or the commentator said, and then I'd study some more and find out the commentator wasn't right. I'm sure you've been there, Brother Burrow. But I found out that everything I get out of the Bible is right. Don't have to argue with that. So he said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. Now the lost people tonight are not blind physically. They're blinded in their mind. What's it mean to be blind in the mind? Don't mean you're crazy. Just means you can't see the truth. Just means you got some weird and warped ideas. Now you know where I'm coming from. This world is living in a society of warped minds. Now we look at this. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In other words, the devil blinds their minds so that God can't shine the light. The devil knows more about the Bible than most of us in this building. Matter of fact, all of us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why the devil makes sure you don't take time to study your Bible. He knows your mind will be enlightened. That's why he keeps you from the book. We'll look at some other things here in just a moment. That's why tonight he don't want you to see the truth. Amen. We got fake news all over the place, and they're majoring on telling things that are not right. You can listen to the mainstream media today, and they're all warped and twisted to some degree. Every once in a while, they'll throw out something that's real. And when they tell you something's real, you don't know whether to believe that or not because you done heard so much it's wrong. Amen. The devil's found out a long time ago that the power of a lie is the little bit of truth that he tells in it. Amen. He's learned how to do that. He's the God of this age. So, let me just kind of explain this. People are all worried about, and I said this morning, touched on it, didn't preach much on it. They're worried about tribulation. They're worried about the mark of the beast. They're worried about things. I come through town this morning, found out gas went up, 10 cents or more today, since yesterday. I said, last year, gas probably go to $4 a gallon. Still holding to that. I am not in here a prophet of doom. I'm trying to tell you, I remember this morning I told you that the Lord would come in the days when it got like the days of Noah. As it were, in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Of course, you got to be careful of that. He's talking about, too, when he comes in the, not just in the clouds, but comes as the revelation or in the revelation. The wind up. But I do know this. The flood didn't take place until the land was filled with violence and every imagination of the heart was evil continually. And in America and around the world, we've got a lot of violence, but the violence does not fill the land. Anybody said, I'm not preaching now for any length of time. You remember I've talked about this and people don't like to hear it, but I talked about one of these days the white horse is going to ride out. That's the Antichrist. That's going to be after the church is called out of here. Somebody is trying to put their hands and their names and the social security number of the Antichrist. What's his name? Where's he live? Where's he coming from? I don't know. Just to be honest with you. But he's coming. Could he be alive? Yes. Could he be well ready to set himself in power? No, but God is maybe ready to set him in power. Allow him. He's not going to set him up on purpose, but he's going to allow him to be set up. Amen. I have to be careful about my choice of words, but I'm telling you, violence does not fill the land. But now I'm seeing more violence. The last few years we've had Black Lives Matter. We've seen places burned. We've seen things happen. You said that's pretty much violence, preacher. Yes, sir. We have a lot of rights. We have a lot of things that are taking place. But I'm beginning to see every day more violence taking place in the land around the world. Satan is working overtime. He's very careful. Whether you want to believe this or not, the devil's very smart. He, as a little kid, used to say, the devil is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I'd put him in a box. You remember the story? He used to sing it. I'm saying tonight, he knows what he's talking about. He is not a novice. He's been around, I don't know how long he's been around. I don't know when God created the angels, but I do know that he's been on the trail of man at least 6,000 years. He's watched one generation after another. One generation has come and gone. Another has took up its place. He's watched us fall in the footsteps of our foreparents. He knows your habits better than you know them. He watches where you go. That's why, and they do that. And that now he's zeroing in. He knows how to zero in on this stuff. This business of $600 in your banking account that you do a transaction, they're going to check up on you. All that is just to keep up and know what you're buying, when you're buying it, and where you're buying it. He wants to know more about you. Amen. They actually know more about you than I do. Every time you slide a card through the card readers, they got all the information. They got the numbers. You ain't nothing but a number. They don't know your name. They don't really care whether they know your name or not. You're a number. The devil knows all that. The reason they're trying to get all these passports is so that they can keep up with you. Reason they want to put a chip in you is because you said, I ain't had nobody. No, but they're working on it. That's so they'll know you. You can walk by a place and you can be picked up. I mean, with a scanner. Huh? Have you heard about the tattoos that can't be seen? Anybody ever heard of them? Oh, I'm not stupid. I'm on target. Some of you hadn't heard it, so I'm waking you up. They got tattoos that you can't see. They're working on that. Everything is in play. What I'm believing and touching on tonight is this. Violence will fill the land. Have you noticed the airlines, how that they put out the mandates? Mandate's not a law, it's a mandate. Have you noticed any employer that's got as many as 100 people, they got the right to stress that they got to have a vaccine to work? All that is in the play and in the plan of the God of this age. And it's all to set up. Now, last week I noticed that the airlines have changed their minds. Amen. I've noticed some others have changed their minds. Some of them have said to our president, this ain't going to work. Yeah. Have you noticed that they're going to vaccinate the old people? You know, they wanted to vaccinate them last year and they done all the damage it could do there. So they just started at a younger age that wasn't even getting the stuff. And then they come down to a younger. And last week, they're trying to get stuff out now from 5 years old, 11. And parents are pitching a fit. The more they put on us, the more violence you're going to see in our land. And at some point in time, it's going to be a chaotic mess in America. Not only in America, but around the world. Other countries right now are facing the same thing that we're facing. That's why when the nation of America goes down with the economic situation, that's why we'll get a new money. I'm warning you folks. I'm telling you. I'm going from what I see from the Word of God. Now you said you get it out of the Bible. Yes, I do. But one of these days that white horse is going to ride out. And the Antichrist is going to be revealed. He's going to be put in place. And he will become the ruler of the world system. And by the way, we've already got a one world bank.
That's right.
Anybody ever heard that? We got a one world bank. Just waiting. And the whole world, wherever you go, it may not be the dollar, I'm sure it won't be. It may not be the yen, I don't know what it'll be. But there'll be one world money. And what's happening, all that's going to, well, when the rapture takes place, and the saints are called out of here, the troublemaker, so to speak, we'll be gone. The Holy Spirit's restraint won't be here. We'll be in glory. Amen for that. Guess what? The white horse rides out. He has a bow but no arrows. And he's going to introduce peace. And for the first 3.5 years, brother, the place on this earth won't be bad to live on. I'm preaching prophecy and I'm preaching Bible at the same time.
Amen.
I'm not out of the Word of God. For 3.5 years, everything will be hunky-dory. And they can beat up the whole world and say, look, all them troublemakers are gone out of here. All those folks over there that was against all this stuff that we was for, they're not around no more. I told you they were the problem. I don't care what they say about me when I'm gone.
Amen.
I really don't care what they say about me while I'm here.
Amen.
But I'm more concerned about it while I'm here than after I'm gone. I'll be true with you. You with me now? You following the... Then in the middle, when you get to the 13th chapter, he's going to sit in his rule for the last 42 months, which is 3.5 years, and it's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, that when there's going to be a chaotic mess in the world, a one world system, a one world government, a one world economy, a one world religious system. That's when the whore rises up. Amen. Somebody said it's going to be the Pope. I believe the Antichrist is not Joe Biden. And I don't believe the Pope is the one that we've gotten out on what his name is, Francis.
Yeah.
Amen. Maybe his name will be Tom or something. I don't like Francis for a man. But I know this. The Antichrist will be smart.
That's right.
I want to tell you this. The whore is going to be smart.
Yeah.
And Joe Biden and the Pope, neither one's smart enough to have that job. Amen.
Right.
That's deosology. That didn't get that out of the Bible. But I've watched both of them work. And they don't know what they're doing. But yet they're in the plan of God. Amen. I believe you agree with me.
Amen.
So that violence is going to be settled. The country, and that's why I'm saying we're at the point of the rapture, not the point of the tribulation. Somebody says, oh, we're in tribulation. No, we're not. We're going to go through part of the trip. No, we're not. Now, I'm anchored on my scriptures, brother. You may not believe it like I believe it. But boy, if you got a hold of it like God got a hold of it in me, you'd preach it to the housetop. No, from the housetop. I haven't back. Listen, I've been here for quite a few years. I haven't wavered on what I preached about the coming of the Lord. Have I not? I preached the same thing 10 years ago, 20 years ago, even 50 years ago. Matter of fact, when I started, I didn't know a whole lot about it, but I got anchored on it. And once I found out what the Bible said, I've been preaching it ever since and going to continue to.
Amen.
Now what's going to happen? He'll break that covenant, and then it's going to be chaotic. I want to go back and throw in some things here tonight. This is one of them long messages, and I don't want to preach long. I just don't like to do that. Somebody said, well, we need to hear all of it. Yeah, I know we do. And it's got to me, when you got them here, you might as well tell them all you can tell them, because they may not come back for a while. Amen. I was talking to a preacher today, and I said, how was your church service today? He said, fine. I said, you have a good crowd? He said, no, our crowd was off. I said, ours is about normal, maybe just a little more. And I said, thank God for that. He said, you never know, do you? I said, no. One thing about it, I don't pick on you, because I don't know where you're going to be here or not. I don't give a message for any one particular person. Amen. Because after I get zeroed in on what God's given me to preach, I'll preach that and don't deviate unless God puts me off on it. Now, go back with me. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, how does he do that? He does it through the false teachers and the false preachers and the hirelings that are running up and down the country saying they are apostles of Christ when they are not. That's how he does it, number one. Number two, he puts preachers in the churches and then he keeps them occupied. I'm talking about the God of this age. He occupies them with the affairs of everything. Maybe I, back all through the years, I've always had to do something. I mean, if a water pipe broke, I was the plumber. If an electrical circuit went out, I was the electrician. The reason is simply because the churches that I've pastored have been churches that didn't have any money in the treasury. And most of them didn't have any knowledge of those things. So the church couldn't reach out and hire a plumber. The church couldn't reach out and hire an electrician. The church couldn't reach out and hire this and that, so we've been working all our lives. And the devil, and I didn't pay much attention to this when I was younger. Knowing what I know now, if I could go back and pastor again, it'd sure be different. I'd take offerings three times on a service on Sunday morning to get enough to do whatever we had to do. Amen. I'd stress that the people needed to get involved, not let the man of God have to be occupied 3 or 4 days trying to get the plumbing done. You know what the man of God's job is? Yeah, preacher, visit the sick. Make sure everything's going all right. Make sure the affairs of the church. No, the preacher's job is to preach.
Amen.
You know, we got churches up and down here in our own county here. They keep our preacher so occupied that he don't have time to study the Word of God. They want him busy. I know some of y'all sit here and sometimes you go, our preacher don't do nothing. Well, the fact is, a poor old boy came. Amen. I do a few things. I'm pretty active. But I have to sit down. And after I sat down for these years, I thought, now if I'd have sat down back yonder and studied back yonder when I was 30, 40, I could have learned more Bible. I want to beat up on myself all the time because I don't know as much about the Bible as I ought to know because I got occupied.
Yeah.
And the people in the church kept me occupied. And I'm not fussing at you. Y'all seem to let me alone. I appreciate it. COVID's helped out a whole lot. I mean, in the last 10 years, I've done less visiting than I've ever done. But they used to have taken a little pinky nail off and I sit 4 hours while they're taking the pinky nail off and nothing happened. Everything is fine. Baby got the colic and I sat there trying to stay with them a little while so they get some rest. Understand, brother, let me tell you, sometimes you expect more out of the man of God than you ought to expect. And the devil sees to it. He's a god of this age. He opens your mind to the things and puts in your mind what the preacher ought to be doing. But show me in the Word of God where that's the preacher's job. I can preach that now. Hey, I can't run to the hospital. Somebody said, well, I'm going to be down at Northeast Georgia, and I'm going to be in a room 442 or 4422. And I say, is that the North Tower or the South Tower? They say it's the South Tower. You know what I say? Oh, me. Now, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But you go to the South Tower, you got to find you a place down there in the big old parking lot and drive around for about 30 minutes to find you a place close enough. Brother Burrow, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Then you got to walk about a half a mile to get to the door. You get in the door, you have to sit in the chair somewhere to get your breath. Then you go get in the elevator, and the elevator takes you up. And now you're so wore out, and you get to the room, 4422, and you walk in, and you say, glory to God, how you doing? You're about dead.
Amen.
You know where I'm coming from, don't you, Brother Burrow? I'm serious, folks. How's another way he does that? Taking up their time so that they cannot study the Word of God. Every church member expects the preacher to know everything. They expect him to give an answer to every question they've got. They expect him, and I believe that's what the man of God ought to do. I believe the preacher ought to give the answer. Listen, I wouldn't want you calling the governor to see what John 19:2 says. I wouldn't want you to call the pastor uptown to find out what John 1:9 says. It's my job. But hey, preacher, you go home and get in that book and stay in that book and dig out something and bring it up here. Bring the dinner bucket Wednesday night and we'll have supper. Amen. But the devil sees we don't study. Next thing he does, he stirs up church problems. Little problems rise in the church and we have church trouble. You know what it does to a pastor? Church problems? It'll make him pace the floor at night and not sleep. It'll make him not eat. It'll make him... Brother Burrell, am I right? Any pastor tonight that loves his congregation, loves his church, and loves his work, and what God's put him to do, I want to tell you just the least little thing. Did you know what you do when your little baby goes to sleep, been up there 8 hours, you're wore out, you're tired, and you lay that little sucker down and it's asleep? You know what you do for the rest of the while?
What do you do?
Do you tiptoe?
You turn on anything to listen to it, you turn it down low. And if you get up close to it, you don't want that little rascal to hear it. You understand where I'm coming from tonight? I don't reckon nobody's done that to me lately. But I'm trying to tell you that's why people tonight do not know the Scriptures. Because they've kept the man of God from getting into the Word of God. And then they stirred up something. Paint the wall in the church and it's blue. And it was the wrong color blue. They picked it out. But that's not what I picked out. But you can't get it through their head. I bought some paint yesterday to paint a little item I wanted to paint. And I looked at it. And when I started, I said it don't match. What I was going to spray on it was lighter than what it was. But they didn't have anything else any closer. I said, I can live with it. I sprayed it. When it got dry, it was identical. Now, I didn't know that. I don't know where God changed it for me, or it just dried darker. I won't even argue with that. And I looked at it and I thought, you couldn't get that no closer. You understand what I'm saying? You may have picked out something and so this splits the church because, you know, you want to do something and you can't get it done. Well, when the church is having problems and people are bickering and fussing, I can understand where Moses come from. No wonder he got meek. No wonder he's the meekest man on the face there, dealing with 1.5 million+ people. And can't get along and they gripe and grumble and murmur and complain. Brother, I'll tell you, that'll meekanize you. That's not a word, but you know what I'm saying. Guess what? People are so busy trying to keep the preacher busy, making sure he does everything right, that he don't have time to pray. Thank you. I was waiting on one. I guess I better quit. You done got tired on me. And I could just keep a going. I ain't exhausted this message. And I'll put it these three words on it: to be continued. It's bad. At 4 o'clock, I didn't know I was preaching this. It come up at 4:15, and I didn't know how it was going to come out the way it was. God just started me off on the right track. Let's stand. Covered a lot of area tonight. And I thank God for the Word of God.